I'm here with Bill Bright, who, in addition to being involved with Gallup Solar and Habitat for Humanity, is also the force behind the Sustainable Gallup Board.
It's advisory to the City Council on policy matters relative to energy, water, recycling, and environmental issues. So that being said, we're a little hard to find on the city website, but if you dig deep enough, we can find it. And everybody's welcome to come to our meetings. I think they're very interesting.
On the first Monday of each month. Is that still at 3 in the afternoon?
3 to 5.
Over at the Octavia Fillin Public Library.
Yes. A citizen-based group, basically advisory only to the City Council in terms of policies. So that being said, some of the citizens had noted at a City Council meeting there was an RFP, request for proposals, for the usual mosquito abatement programs. And that happens every year since I've been in Gallup. I think if people stay up late at night or get up early in the morning, you might have heard or seen the high-pitched sound of a pickup truck coming down your front street fogging for mosquitoes. And that's been going on for some time. It's very common. There's no particular issue there. In fact, when we looked into that part, a lot of environmentally friendly type of products have been adopted over the years for mosquito abatement, including a tiny little fish that in certain parts of town where you have ponds that last a long time, they'll actually introduce these little tiny fish that eat the larvae of the mosquitoes. And then the Perinthium, which we all get at the hardware store for bed bugs, Perinthium balm, that came from a plant originally, but it's synthesized now. I think it's a chrysanthemum plant. So that wasn't really the issue. It's just that this year we noticed something new in the RFP, and it included weed control from the same company out of Albuquerque. So we thought we'd better check on that, and sure enough, we looked up, we got a hold of the RFP and the Pacific products, and Roundup, as people may know, Monsanto, producer of Roundup, has been in the news for some time, being condemned and generally by even agencies of the United Nations in terms of Monsanto's other products. So Roundup is one of the products. So we talked to the provider in Albuquerque, very nice gentleman who volunteered to come to our meeting. So our last meeting, the library, we had the person, the Dr. Sanderson, out of Albuquerque, who's providing both the weed and vector control, and a representative from the city who's responsible for it, complying with the RFP. I just want to report briefly to the public that there are people who are sensitive to Roundup, that kind of spraying Roundup, and there's some other chemicals there that they use for weeds, that may not want this sprayed by a public entity on their house or their alley or their organic garden, or if they've got a beef feeding station in the back. It's a lot of the labels that we looked at have warnings about not being used around bees or bee habitat. We were assured at the meeting that the way this is sprayed this year, they're using water base instead of oil base for the carrier. That doesn't last as long. It evaporates, and supposedly the time of night that it's done, bees aren't active, and that it dissipates enough that it wouldn't harm bees, based on the EPA guidelines, so that they follow. So that being what it is. But there, we ask about, well, what about people who want a do not spray option? We'd heard about it in other places, and we looked on the internet, and there's actually companies that provide signs, do not spray signs, with different color coded for certain cities. They have a color coded arrangement in their policy, so that people can simply set up the sign out in front, or some manner of alerting that particular city that that particular resident doesn't want to be sprayed for whatever reason. The city did respond right after our meeting without us, before even reported to the city council. They listed at the city's website information about some of the products, only two of them out of the dozen or so for some reason. I want to direct people to two things to look up, to decide for themselves on this issue. One of them is the New Mexico Department of Health. You can just go to newmexicohealth.org and look for Zika and West Nile virus. Those are the two issues that were brought up at the meeting for one side of the issue. Both those viruses can be quite scary and harmful to health on one side, and then there's the chemicals used to kill the mosquitoes on the other side. And of course, as we were discussing earlier, it's a false dilemma because there are greener approaches to eliminating weeds and mosquitoes that are being developed as we speak. And that's something the Sustainable Gallup Board, I want to put back on the agenda for next year. Of course, this RFP has already started. They're spraying already for some weeks now. So for next year, we're hoping to advise City Council to look into the greener alternatives for both of these issues, weeds and mosquitoes. So I want people to, if you could write down this number, and you and I'll give you your choices. It's the number published by the city. It's 863-1254, 863-1254. And I just got a call from a resident, a citizen, who said they'd call the number and they didn't know what she was talking about. So I want to give the city a little chance to catch up. Intercommunication with the cities, is an issue. I think it's basically a city clerk's office. But now, by now, I think enough people are called, they'll know when you say, I want... You have two options as a citizen. You can say, I just want more information. They'll direct you directly to this Dr. Sanderson in Albuquerque, a nice guy who does the program and well knowledgeable. And you can talk to him about, what he thinks of the safety issue or not. Or you can simply say, I just want to register as a do not spray at this particular address, period. And I believe the city will honor that.
505-863-1254
right.
Is the number for the city of Gallup if you want to register as a do not spray zone. And is this only for homeowners? If, for instance, if you are an apartment dweller and have sensitivities, can you also make this request?
Well, a good question. I don't think anybody thought about it, but sure, anyone here who is living in town should be able to call a number and get information to see whether it's possible or not. I don't know. It seemed to me as apartment is not unlike a city block, because in that, as I'm told by the provider, because of the spray spread and the winds, if they have a person on a particular city block that do not spray, they emit the whole block. So that would be the same as an apartment, I would think.
You were mentioning this list of agents being used for pest and weed eradication project that the city has. If Roundup is one of those products, that's a serious concern, not only for the risk of colony collapse if used near bees, but it doesn't go away. As you mentioned, the difference between water-based and oil-based delivery systems is pretty significant.
Well, the label, we looked at the labels and basically, and also the state health department. Main concern is getting into the water tables and issues, around in that particular product. Where does it go from here? Does it get into the food chain? Does it get into the waters of the area? And, of course, in the agricultural sense, it's much more prevalent than in the local sprays. It was brought up at the meeting that it's kind of ironic. Some people were saying, well, maybe the city, what if it didn't spray Roundup or so on? If you look outside of any sunny day at your neighborhood, you'll probably find one person with that plastic container in their hand and a wand that they got at the local hardware store of Roundup, and they're just spraying like crazy and probably overdoing it. You know, if a little bit works, why not just spray the heck out of this weed in my front yard? So, but then we kind of looked at that again from another viewpoint. Well, that's a direct application of a citizen decision and application. It's not the same as a city taking it on themselves to spray all of us and with or without our knowledge, basically, because if it wasn't for the board, I don't think there would have been a lot of information out. And for the station, basically, I haven't heard anywhere else saying we're making citizens aware this is even being done this year. So that's what we're here for. Make up your own decision, and at least you're aware, make it a choice yourself rather than someone else making it for you.
Has the Sustainable Gallup Board made any alternative proposals for approaches to pest control or weed control?
Well, we were running a little late in terms of recognizing it, when it's going to happen. We meet only once a month. By the time we met, of course, the RFP, the contract was cut in the spring. It already begun for this year. So that we're not really looking at that except for the opt-out option. But like I said, we invite all citizens interested in this who maybe have a background or some knowledge from other places they've lived of other weed control options. Please come to our meeting. It's the first Monday of each month. It'll be talking about July 3rd. That's the holiday is the next day, the 4th. And that'll be the adult library, Octavia Lynn Library in the back meeting room. And we get started by 3:30. To 5 at the least, you know, we've been talking about 3 or 3:30, but for sure we'd be in session by 3:30 to 5. All the public's welcome. Some ideas that have already came up since then, people have suggested, and I've seen this when I moved to Gallup some 20-some years ago, people in orange jumpsuit suits were doing a lot, were just delighted in a way, I think, to get out of the dull jail cell for a while, and weed, you know, and so was some of the staff, I think. So there's that workforce. There's also towns that have used the homeless people, people just in really desperate need for a few bucks, that would are interested and maybe even prideful about being able to weed and do a job and lead to there to perhaps a recovery. So there's that. So there's a number of different ways that we could approach weeds. The other possibility is to enforce the existing ordinance that not everybody's aware of, is that the alley is the main concern for the weed control because it's a city-owned property. So when I understand it, the mosquitoes are going up and down our paved streets, mosquito control fogger. The weed control is going up and down our alleys mainly because that's where the weeds get way out of hand. Well, the ordinance, the way the city ordinance reads, one half of the alley on your side is your responsibility to keep clean of weeds and trash. And, of course, a lot of people just sort of don't look in the alley and don't do it. The weeds, the city has a code enforcement officer who tries to, there's many other things that they have to work with besides this. But basically, if he goes down some of the alleys in Gallup downtown, weeds are getting, you know, as high as a person. Now it gets difficult at that point. And the city may come in eventually with a machine and do it. But basically, it's a citizen's responsibility, that alley. And if they took more people did that, catch them when they're small and young, I would suggest not using Roundup. But whatever you ways to get those weeds down in the alley, behind just behind your property, if we understood that, it would eliminate probably the largest need for the weed control.
And, of course, in areas where some plant growth is tolerated, the most common approach is figure out what plants you'd prefer to what's there and basically, you know, go out of your way to overplant with species that you would support being there.
Yeah, I've seen some people's wonderful people have really an interest in the gardening in general, have brought in the wildflower seeds. Somebody gave me several pounds of it, and I put it just on one side of my house, just sort of terrible soil where nothing else would be except weeds. And we just sort of selectively weeded, pulled the weeds for a year or two, and now it's just overtaken by these wonderful wildflowers of all types that the bees are coming to and so on. And they've spread down the downwind from my house to several houses down the block are growing wildflowers now, and they probably have no idea where they're coming from. So it's a simple matter of introducing, like you say, something desirable, and it will crowd out weeds. You know, there's a competition among plants, and if we just go in and try to just lightly touch a human touch into the system, we can really make it change here in terms of what we do. And then and the other way around too, just make stupid mistakes like letting elm trees just reproduce all over town. To me, I call them elm weeds. they're so difficult, and they get in close to a foundation, and they can really do some damage to a house foundation. Some are older houses. I've seen them lift sidewalks, too. So,
there is another aspect of the cultural issue of weed control, and that is that local historian, naturalist Martin Link has pointed out, there are plants such as the dandelion, which in the Midwest are considered weeds and are sprayed continuously, who Martin has pointed out, if you really look at what dandelions do, they should be valued and not eradicated.
Now, one part of my health regime in my house is a dandelion tea, medicinal use of dandelion. So there's a proof that some of these so-called weeds have a medicinal value in folklore and in scientific proof. Now they're proving the value of these things.
And that goes beyond one species. There are a number of plants that historically, in modern times, particularly along the Anglo culture, have been considered weeds, but locally by native practitioners would be seen as medicinal or have other uses. And frankly, I think there needs to be some education.
Part of this mixed plant that someone gave me is the so-called Navajo tea, and we've been able to recognize it in one of the yards down from us, that has all been harvested and sold at flea markets still today, wrapped up and sold in bundles. So we do have a direct connection to our area's ethnic cultural herbs and folklore.
So I would hope the city would be better educated about this too, that they're not overspraying what could be very important medicinal and herbal plant sources.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all part of sustainability overall, we think. We're here for the long term. This is just one aspect of what do we do that sustains a community, its people, its cultures, its livelihoods, making a great place to live, and countering the influence of large corporations who basically just want to sell a product, and they're not here to answer the consequences to it.
If we're talking about pest control, if we're talking about mosquitoes, there are some green alternatives to spraying chemicals. And, among approaches are that there are, researchers who have found that they can breed sterile mosquitoes that go out. They release these sterile mosquitoes. They draw off the population that would be interbreeding fertilely, and it cuts back on the number of mosquitoes that are actually gestating.
Something new all the time. I was just reading today or yesterday, I think, on a blurb on Facebook, I think it was, about a discovery of a particular fungus that's exclusive to the mosquito that carries these vectors, a particular type of mosquito. That fungus gets into the mosquito and it interrupts their whole life cycle, they're testing it right now. It may be available in a year or two or so. And is this one example of fungus? Who knew? And what's good about it, it's introducing something that doesn't spread to anything else. It's particular to the chemistry of that particular mosquito, so it doesn't go from there to anything else, any other insect.
So for our listeners, if you are interested in finding out more about green alternatives to weed and pest control, then consider coming to the next Sustainable Gallup Board meeting at Octavia Flynn Public Library, which takes place on the first Monday of each month, except for holidays. The next one would be this coming July 3rd. That is the day before a holiday, but the library will be open that day. Or if you, for this season, if you just want to get on a no-spray list, you can call 505-863-1254 and speak with someone at the city about seeing what you can do about avoiding the spraying around your area.
Yeah, if nobody calls in, I figure, why should the city bother with our advice. Nobody cares here in Gallup. Well, I just don't think it's true. It's just that we don't know what's going on, and that's what this radio station is about, to make people informed, more informed citizens.
And, you know, there are other aspects of green approaches to things like mosquito control. Traditionally, just reducing the number of spots where stagnant water collects is
right.
Very important.
Yeah, the city does at their website. I encourage everybody to go to the sign up. That's the city website. You can sign up for notices about meetings and things like this that are going on, and awareness. And if you do, you would have gotten an email giving you this number about opt-out, but also they have other informational things and alerts and so on. You keep you in being an informed citizen. So it's two-sided. You know, the city, everybody can say, well, I didn't know anything about it, but the city says, well, did you sign up for city alerts? I mean, if you do go to a meeting, did you go to city council? Did you go to the Sustainable Gallup Board? In other words, if we don't participate and find some space in our busy lives to interact with our community, we really can't say, well, hey, they didn't let me know. Well, it's works both ways. You know, you need to go out and find information.
I've been speaking with Bill Bright, who is associated with Gallup Solar, Habitat for Humanity, and today talking about some issues around spring programs that the city of Gallup is operating in conjunction with some recommendations from the Sustainable Gallup Board, which meets next on Monday, July 3rd, 3 to 3:30 p.m. or so is the start time at Octavia Flynn Public Library. If you want to get on the no-spray list, you can call 505-863-1254.
Thank you for having me.